Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This morning, we're going to touch on the importance and how important it is to pay attention to the name and all the details that are found in that name. Several months ago, back when it was, I guess, a little bit more comfortable in the world where people used to stop by and eat in other people's home, the story is told of a young preacher who had stopped by one of his members' house to have dinner in this lady's house. And as he walked in, he did what a lot of you probably do when you go into someone's house for dinner. You start to look around how clean the kitchen is, and you start to look at how clean the dish rags are, because that's a big tell, how clean the dish rags are and how clean the dish towels are. And you happen to look at the fingernails of the person who prepared your meal. You want to make sure that they got clean hands. And as you happen to notice as you walk in, that's what this preacher was doing. He was scoping out because he was a little bit nervous. He'd been warned about eating chicken and dumplings at this lady's house. And as he had come in there to sit down at the table, he sits down and he looks at the plate in front of him. And there was something stuck to the plate. He didn't want to be rude, but he tells the lady, he says, "Excuse me, that I think there's something on my plate." And she looks at it and she says, "Oh, never mind, never mind. I'll take that up. I'll get you a fresh one." She said, "Don't you worry, think about that. Me and Ajax will be able to knock that out in a jiffy." And he looks around the kitchen as he's still waiting for her to bring out that plate. And he happens to see there's a brand new bottle, very large bottle of dishwashing liquid. And I don't know in this story if you understand how valuable that is, because even dishwashing liquid is hard to come by these days because people are doing something unthinkable. People are cooking at home again and they're washing dishes, and dishwashing liquid is a commodity. So as he sees that, he takes comfort, and she brings him out a plate and it is just heaped up. And he eats and eats and eats, and he thinks to himself, "Well, I certainly did appreciate that, but I'm going to let myself go." And she says, "Oh, no, 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 no. I've got some dessert planned for you." He thinks about all the trouble it's going to be to her. And he says, "No, ma'am, I'm going to protest. I really need to go. I don't want to overdo it." And she says, "No, don't you worry a thing. It won't take me and Ajax very long to do these dishes. We'll get them done in a jiffy." "Yeah, that Ajax will just lick it in a lickety split." So as she brings out a plate of apple pie, he sits there and eats it. And while they're eating dessert, there is a terrible scratching at the door. He jumps, startled. And he says, "What's that?" And she says, "Don't mind him. That's my dog, Ajax. He is so excited to get in and help me clean these dishes." Okay. That's why I don't tell jokes. Because you don't laugh. But it was all there in the name. Maybe you saw it coming. Maybe today at least the behavior is going to change. You're going to go home and wash that dishwasher, that dishcloth and dish towel, and double check before you come in. This morning I'd like to talk to you about the joy that's found in the name of Jesus. And as we've been working through Philippians chapter 2, we are looking at Paul's message that there is joy possible in every circumstance. And I want you to know, as we looked at on Wednesday night, how we have joy that lasts. Because the important question for a lot of people who weren't able to be with us on Wednesday night, we answer a really important question about how to keep your joy. And if your joy is feeling-based, well, it's going to crumble. But if your joy is faith-based, it lasts and endures. And this morning, Paul is continuing in his message on false humility. And our point this morning is this, and our message is going to be quick and to the point. Only one name gives everlasting joy through humility. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read our passage this morning and ask Him to work in our service and in our hearts. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning and we thank you so much for your grace and for your glorious work that you've done here on this earth, that you came in the form of a man, that you, very God of very God, took on the form of a servant and you humbled yourself to death, even the death of the cross. And Lord, that your burial and your resurrection provides for us great hope. Lord, we believe you are who you claim to be. We serve you with our lives because there is no other name worthy of our worship. Lord, thank you so much, our deliverer, for delivering us. And Lord, I pray this morning as we work through Paul's message in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that you would give us a great burden for your work in our life and your work through our life. Lord Jesus, we can't do anything apart from you. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us today. We ask these things in your name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to read along with me in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. We're going to look at these few verses this morning and do a little bit of digging. Would you join me as we read together? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the name of Jesus says it all. Remember last week when we looked at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we see how Jesus humbled himself for his Father's mission of redemption. As we review, I'd like to share these verses with you. Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, church, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And in Jesus' humility, which Paul is addressing the church at Philippi, he says, listen, put aside all of your selfish pride and your ambition and take on this mind of Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Do you want to know how to be a healthy body of believers, church? It is by taking on the name and taking on the humility of Jesus. As believers, we come to him with nothing in our hands. There's nothing that we can do. He has done it all. And inside the church, when you and I realize our standing as body, while we're all important and we all provide a very important function inside the body, this body does not belong to us, but ultimately to Jesus. And sadly, we live in a day that even though it's been some 2,000 years since Jesus walked this earth, that the church sometimes wanders away from mission because the church becomes disillusioned or the church finds its focus in the wrong places. Sometimes people in important positions and people in leadership and people in authority think of themselves highly or higher than they ought to think. And much has been done to malign the name of Jesus by the way Christians live our lives and operate, and sometimes even the infighting that takes place inside the church. It brings dishonor to Jesus and to his name. And so the things that you and I do as believers, they do bring tarnish to his name as far as people's attitudes or opinions or ears are concerned. But please know this, as we look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that our actions as believers and our actions as every person that lives on this planet is beholden to the precious name of Jesus. And so while we can speak poorly of our Lord, which speaks poorly of ourselves, there is coming a day, Paul tells us, when everyone will speak the same of Jesus. and how important it is to be right on time with speaking the name of Jesus appropriately. See, God highly exalted Jesus for his humility. He tells us that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Now, that word highly exalted isn't just stuck in there because Paul needed to use some extra language about Jesus. That word highly exalted means that Jesus was raised to supreme majesty. He's been highly praised and he has been exalted, promoted beyond measure. That there is no corollary. There's no comparison to how God exalted Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, Paul, writing of this to the Ephesian church, says it this way, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And when we consider how God exalted Jesus, we go and we start at the end of the gospel story, at the resurrection. God raised up the Son. And as you and I look to that empty tomb, we find the promise of everlasting life that made possible because of Jesus and guaranteed by Jesus, and the life that he was raised to. You and I, as believers, receive everlasting life without end. Even though this body may be planted in the grave can't hold us because it could not hold him. And Jesus conquered death and sin, and God exalted him. Paul says he's given him a prominent place, position, and that there is no other person greater than he. So you look at the name of Jesus, and there's somewhat of an expression of the title that's there. We see this as we continue reading in verse 9, how God gave Jesus a name that's above every name. Look back at verse 9 with me again. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, what's in a name? The name that you've given or that you go by. You probably have your Christian name. That's what we call it. You know, your birth name, your full name. And you know that if you ever heard your full name when you were growing up, that wasn't necessarily a good thing. If you had every name that's given to you said when your name was called out, you were probably in trouble. And then you probably had a name that was a nickname. Does anybody in here have a nickname that they go by or that they'd prefer to be called? I think it's amazing here, just in this part of the country, when I first came here, to realize that there's a whole lot more to a person's identity than just the name on their driver's license, because there's a lot of people who go by their nickname. And for the longest time, I thought that the nickname was actually their name. Miss Betty, I would often think about Brother Julian as JC. That's what I always heard him referred to as JC. And I thought, well, how do you spell JC? Well, JC. Didn't realize that was just the first initial, the middle initial put together, and it made JC. But beyond that, my grandmother gave me a nickname, Picky, when I was a young boy because I picked at her glasses, she said. And she's the only person that I like to call me Picky. When Melina tells me I'm picky, I know it probably refers to the way I eat my food, or I'm just very particular. That's the way that word picky sometimes means, makes us think about particular. My grandmother meant it in a pinchy kind of a way, that I would pick at her. So when she called me picky, I was okay with it. But when somebody else calls me picky, it hurts my feelings because it makes it sound like I'm being particular. And there is a whole lot that's in a person's name and a person's identity. So when we talk about the name of Jesus, There's this aspect of his title. I'd like you to look with me at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where a name is given to the one who's born of a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. And that's the beauty of Jesus coming to this earth, getting ready just right around the corner. As soon as those Halloween decorations get out of the store, they'll get the Christmas decorations in. We're probably getting excited about the upcoming season this year. How wonderful a time it is for us to gather around that little manger and celebrate the story of God breaking through into human history. And in Jesus, something happens that has never, ever been in true of our history. Yes, God was with his people of Israel. It was manifested as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire as he led them to the promised land, depending on what time of day it was. And yeah, we've seen the Lord working here, but he came and walked among us, Jesus, God with us, and his name, Emmanuel, tells us that he has arrived. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, continuing on that thought, for unto us is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name, say it with me, church, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And all of these titles that are used for Jesus speak to him as the Messiah. Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be, and he is a great teacher, that people will turn their ears to his teaching, and his teachings will be like none other. The Mighty God, that Deliverer wasn't going to be somebody who had special powers or was God-like, but would be God himself, the Eternal Father, the one who would not be bound or constrained by time. The Prince of Peace, the one who brings the kingdom of peace. And for each and every one of these titles, these names that are given to the Messiah, we see in the Gospels of Jesus how the great multitudes gathered to come and were astonished at his teaching. Even the religious leaders in their day were astonished how he interpreted and how he presented the scriptures. Of course, it shouldn't have surprised anyone, for he himself was the one who spoke those words. He's the one who gave those words. And as Jesus himself, we see that even though he was a great teacher, that's not just his identity. He's God himself. And God coming to purchase our redemption. Only God could accomplish the work that God would require. And the one who would not be constrained by time, that like you and I, Jesus is so much greater because he's not bound or limited to just time here on this earth. You and I realize when we get up every day that the clock is ticking and there's always some place that we have to be, but Jesus is greater than time. The creator of all of this and the accountability that comes with the one who's greater than time and the one who will bring the kingdom of peace. And that's why Israel was looking for their deliverer, knowing fully what to expect in their deliverer. But when he comes, so many people did not see what you and I see through eyes of faith. And it is Jesus and his titles that we see that are so important to consider these titles and what's said about him. As we continue in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul continues that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. The name of Jesus requires humility. We see that very, very vividly in the expression that Paul says that every knee will bow in worship. Whether that's in heaven or it's here on the earth or it's in under the earth, every person. And we know that it's not just limited to people, that the angels and the demons, everyone bows down to this name of Jesus. And here, sometimes some people take this verse and they say, well, this is encouragement for us, that God's just doing a great thing and things are glorious and that everybody's on their way to heaven. We don't have anything to worry about because everybody's going to worship Jesus. We just use different names for how we worship Jesus. You don't have to necessarily believe in him to worship him. You might call his name something else, but it's really all one and the same. No, my friend, it's not. There is no other name given among men whereby which we must be saved. Every knee will bow in worship. And for believers, that's fairly easy to see and do because we serve him, we follow him. That doesn't necessarily mean that our lives are perfect and that we get every moment of our life right. And there are some moments in our life where we're just knuckleheads. But ultimately, by his grace and through the convicting work of his Holy Spirit, he draws us back to the place that we need to be. And if you've not been drawn back in a long time, you need to do some bowing of your knee today and get your heart right with the Lord. But the implication here that there's coming a day when every knee will bow in worship, there's a whole lot of power and there is a whole lot of authority in this verse, and it's not implied. There is coming a day when every knee, every person will bow before the name of Jesus, the only one to whom worship and honor and glory is appropriate and due. And it all makes, all of this makes sense and has the haste of making sure that you bow here rather than bow there before him in that day of judgment. So as Christians, we wipe our brow, we say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making my whole. And church, may we never, ever lose sight of what he accomplished in us, not because we're worthy, because we don't deserve what he did. He humbled himself and went to the cross. And that's the message of the gospel. It's not something that builds us up arrogantly, but it is something that grounds us and humbles us, that he did for us that which we could not do. And sadly, it seems to be that this world grows darker, but you know what? This world has been dark, darkened by sin, going all the way back to the beginning of our story in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And to this day, sin has ruled and reigned. But when Jesus came and he conquers sin and he conquers death, there is hope for mankind. Hope that was reclaimed in a garden that was lost in a garden long ago. And Jesus and his name is the name that every knee will bow before. But Paul doesn't just stop there with the act of bowing and the act of obedience. And let me just tell you, to bow before someone is an act of humility. That's where we need to stay on track here, because being a follower of Jesus, it is our identity to be a people of humility. Paul continues in verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess his name. You think, oh, well, good. There's good. That's good. There is coming a day when everyone's going to confess Jesus. So I can take a breather. It's just the Lord's going to take care of this. He'll sort all this out. But again, we're talking about now and we're talking about later. And the importance of confessing now while there's still time versus confessing on a day of judgment when you stand before the Lord, your judge. Paul says, every tongue will confess. And here for the church and the scope of our mission, we see that there is not a tongue that God says, you know what? Of all the people here, I like the ones in America, but nobody else. I'm not worried about them. No, every tongue, every language, every people group, but literally every person who has a tongue will confess one day, somehow, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, remember a few moments ago when we talked about his name and the importance of the title in his name. Well, the name of Jesus isn't just a title, though there's a whole lot there, but rather it speaks to his person and his position. It's the name that bends every knee and every tongue. And the name that God has given to Jesus is right here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. And this is that name, Jesus Christ is Lord. The name Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation. Sadly, we live in a world where Jesus' name is not honored, and his name is used as an insult or as a curse word. Every time the name of Jesus is spoken, it is literally Jehovah is salvation. In our greatest frustration, sometimes people use his name in the worst possible way, but every time his name is spoken, it is literally meaning Jehovah is salvation. And to misuse his name is to trample on that message. But the assaults that we rail at his name tarnish his name in front of one another. No, this name has been exalted and given by the Father. And this name is above every name. And the name Jesus, Jehovah is salvation, isn't just where it stops. It's also Christ, Jesus Christ. And that word Christ in the Greek form means the anointed one, the Messiah, the deliverer. Jehovah is salvation, our deliverer. And in the name of Jesus, it says it all. But the name of Jesus has this title and this position and this aspect of his person presented here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. Jesus Christ is Lord. The one to whom a person belongs is the definition of Lord. The sovereign chief. And when we say the name of Jesus, it says it all. Jehovah is salvation. Our deliverer. The one to whom we belong. Our sovereign chief. Our Lord. And in a nutshell, the name of Jesus says the gospel. And the only right response to his name is humility before his name. That's why every knee is going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. And I praise the Lord that as a young man, as I was sitting in a church service and the preacher was preaching on hell, the beauty of the Savior, Jesus, was shared with me through God's holy word, and I trusted him as my deliverer, as my Savior. And you too have a situation, you have a testimony that is similar. That we do not save ourselves, we cannot save ourselves. There is one name that provides hope and joy, our deliverer, our Lord. And the humility that it takes before that name. The humility that is required before that name is the message of the gospel. Because in our name, we have to be willing and we have to say, identify, recognize, see ourselves the way we truly are. We're just sinners. And as sinners, we're guilty. And because we're guilty, we deserve judgment. And because we deserve judgment, there is no hope in our own strength. But his identity is completely different than our identity. Jesus is very God, a very God. And in his name, we find not just a title, but his person and his position. And that our hope is in Jesus, because his work reveals that he came to accomplish his Father's mission, which Paul says he humbled himself to the death of the cross. He went to the cross to purchase our redemption. He took on in the sins of the world, and he went to the cross, and he, as God, dealt with the sins of the world, and he atones for our sins and makes the payment that's due. That in his death, we see him accomplishing what his Father had sent him to do and what he came to do. And his burial is a testimony that that work was complete. But the story doesn't stop there, because the grave was empty on the third day. And in his resurrection, it wasn't just that our sins were forgiven, but now new life is possible in him. And that by turning to him, as we call upon his name, Paul says, as we confess him as Lord, we have the hope of everlasting life. And in calling upon his name, it means to humble ourselves before his name. Just because a person says Jesus Christ does not mean they are using it appropriately or they're speaking it affectionately. No, the message of the gospel is see yourself as who you are, your identity, to see his identity, to see what he has come to do, and ask him to simply save you. There's nothing that you and I bring or offer. And that's why it's humbling at the name of Jesus. But the message in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, is a lot larger than just that moment that you trusted in Jesus as Savior. Because there is coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And the timing of that confession is important. Now, verses later, has eternal implications. To confess him as Lord now and to serve him with your life, church, we find the hope and the joy of being set free and living in the light of his glory. And sadly, the message of the church sometimes gets sidetracked because we throw our hats or our attentions behind an important program or behind an important person. And when the program collapses or the person falls away, our hope and our joy is dashed. But it ought not be so. This place is bigger than any one of us. The body of Christ is greater than all of us. But we play an important part as members of the body of Christ. Not because there's something special in you, but because of who is our head, our Lord. And there is no other name. There is no other person greater than Jesus is Lord. And in his name, we find our hope and our joy. The point of our time this morning is that true humility bends at the name of Jesus. And the hope, and for the health of our body as believers, it doesn't just give us our way into the family, but it speaks to us as to how we should operate within the family. That you and I esteem others better than ourselves, Paul said to this church at Philippi as he wrote of the matchless beauty and humility of Jesus, that you and I should exalt him above ourselves. And you have to admit, when our eyes are on him and not on ourselves, There comes a beautiful harmony in the body that's made possible through humility in the body. And that true humility bends at the name of Jesus. It's true how we operate in the family. It's true how we come into the family. That humility is required each and every moment of our life as a follower of Jesus. So here's our response this morning. The overall point that we looked at this morning was only one name gives everlasting joy through humility. His humility, our humility. His humility was a gift. Our humility is a response. Our humility is our identity as followers of Jesus. And how important it is to make sure that the timing of that confession is now. Confess. Because our humility is all that we bring before Him. For a person who does not know Him, it's the way in. Jesus, I can't save myself. Jesus, I'm not worthy. My life is a mess. And only You can bring hope. And only You bring deliverance. And only You offer everlasting life. And there is no other name but Yours that provides life. And that's humbling. And as a body of believers, we need to keep that confession front and center to us. That we never ever begin to think, well, I'm a little bit more important now. Because I've been following Jesus and I've been doing pretty good. And I think I'm pretty good. And we start to exalt ourselves. We start to raise ourselves up. And that's where our great downfall comes. Through our pride. If you find your heart prideful, confess it. Because our humility is all that we bring before Him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess and surrender. And you say, these have been some points that you've been making the last couple of weeks. What's up with that? Church, the health of the body is Paul's addressing here to this church of Philippi. Remember, it wasn't a church that had these gross errors. There were some problems inside the church, but Paul's telling the church how to keep the church on track. They were his pride and his great joy. I say pride, not in a term of self-pride, but it brought him joy to see how this body of believers was responding. And our humility before one another builds up our body. But real glory comes to the actions that we do in Jesus' name and not our name. If you need to be recognized for your accolades, what you've done in Jesus, you've missed the point of what Paul is saying here. Everything that you and I do is because of Him and for Him. And regardless of the recognition, may our names exalt His name. And let's pray that even in the middle of this crisis that the world is in, where so many people seem to be running away from the Lord or running away from the church. It's amazing, as one pastor shared with me recently, how it seems to be that this crisis is unlike any other crisis. That people in times past have flocked to find hope at the cross, and today people seem to run from it. And the truth is, people have been running from it since that day in the garden, and the only hope that exists is in the name of Jesus, because of the person of Jesus and the position of Jesus. And our lives matter. And the actions that we do and the way we respond speak great volumes of who He is. May our lives be tuned to giving Him glory rather than tarnishing that name. So this is our prayer this morning as we close. Lord, I come to You in humbleness as my Lord for Your Father's glory.